You know, we all have an edge. And there they were, right on the edge. I mean, all of us in here, we are either over the edge or we are right on the edge. Very few of us have any space. We have any idea of where the edge of our limits are. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is creating space between the edge of our limits and our load. Why don't we pray and ask God to help us really get this morning? Let's pray. God, I pray that as I talk, that what I say would be what you want to have said, because it would be right in line with what all of us need for the welfare of our life and the welfare of our heart. Please help me to be in sync with what people are thinking so I can communicate well, and help us to have hearts and minds that are willing to be aligned with your mind, so that we have the kind of life that honors you, because that is the kind of life that works. Help us today. And I pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Recently watched the movie Crocodile Hunter, which was a letdown for me, because I remember when I was used to watch on Animal Planet, when I had cable, I used to get really freaked out by seeing the guy with the snakes going, oh, look at that, mate, look at that, and he's kind of holding it and taking his bare hands and clamping crocodile jaws shut. I used to love seeing it, but after you've seen that a number of times, the thrill wears off. But there's something about draws us to seeing people live on the edge, whether that's because they're doing dangerous things or maybe because they're spending on the edge. They're living on the financial edge. So maybe we're drawn to seeing business icons like Donald Trump or Jack Welch. I saw recently former CEO and chairman of GE going through a divorce proceeding, and part of the court record was his monthly living expenses. And I was struck by this in Newsweek, how Jack Welch spends normal money on a normal month, every month $51,500 on payments on 5 homes, $5,400 on country club memberships, $1,900 a month on clothing, $8,900 a month on food and beverages, including wine. In fact, I saw recently where he had a heart problem and someone asked him what his big learning was, and he said, well, my big learning is to never have wine that's less than $100 a bottle go over my lips. $1,400 for vacations, $1,800 a month for medical and dental expenses. We look at this and we think, wow, that is out there. That is on the edge. That is seemingly insane. But I know one thing about Jack Welch. He still has stuff left over. He still at least got space. He has space between the money he's making or the money he has in the bank and actually what he has going out. See, intuitively, we realize that it is unhealthy for us to live on the edge. Intuitively, we understand that. And this is the graphic that we're looking at this series. Even though we intuitively understand it, we don't necessarily live it. We intuitively understand there are limits. All of us have limits. Inside of our limits, there is the load that we're bearing, our current responsibilities, the way our schedule is currently filled, the expenditures that we have to make, the relationships we have to manage, all that kind of stuff. And then anything that is left over, that is the space between. That is the space between our load and our limits. And it's there that sanity happens. It's there based on how big that space is, if there is a space, that determines how stressful we are. The problem why most of us are not going to like this series is because we really aren't interested in decreasing the stress in our life. We don't want to increase the space between, because we wear our stress and we wear our responsibilities like a badge of honor. You know, we kind of talk about, oh, look how much I worked and look what I did. We don't really want it. We're dying because of it, but we don't really want it. In fact, what we're interested in most of the time is being able to figure out how to put more into our life. One of the guys who's really a great teacher, motivator, Stephen Covey, has a little principle he walks people through. I don't know if you've ever seen it before. I've used it in various, in a setting before, but I want to put a little different spin on this. I don't know if you ever saw this before. Thank you, Tommy, very much. I want to thank Tommy. You'll have some container like this, which represents our life. This is the limits of our life, all that we can do in our life. And he'll say, the thing to make sure that you do so that you have the kind of life that's worth living is to make sure you put the big rocks in the life first. Make sure you put the ultimate priorities, like managing your family, he'll say, or making sure the ultimate objectives at work get met. Or he'll talk about spirituality. Make sure you have a place for spirituality, and make sure you do the thing like block out time for your physical fitness and all the things that are really important. Put the big rocks in first, because if you put the things that are less important in, you won't have time or you won't be able to fill these things. So what he does is he fills these things, he puts them all in, and says, okay, now is that full? We'll say, is that full? Is that full? No, some of you say, yes, you haven't seen the exercise before. Because no, it's not full. It looks full, but it's not. Because then what you do is you come and you bring the things that are important, but not as important, these things, and you pour these in around the cracks like this. And it pours it in. And he'll say, now, is that full? Because these are like the B projects, the B priority projects. Is that full? That looks full, but it's not full, because then you come and you fill in all the little things, like you fill in your email, do an email, which most of us like do email all day and it does nothing for us. We fill in the little things, returning phone calls, the things that are not of ultimate importance. They need to happen, but they need to fill in. So he goes in, I'm not going to take the time to do all that, but he'll say, okay, is that full? Is that full? No, it's not. Of course, you probably figure that out because you see the water here, right? And that's, no, it's not full, because you have more space, then you take the real, really seemingly insignificant things and you fill in around it. And that is a full life. And this, we think, is like the goal, to have that full life. But here's the problem with this. This is a life that's headed towards disaster. Maybe this helps us prioritize and get some important stuff done, but you know, this is a disaster. You know why? Because life is full, we have no space. So something comes up, like a person is in crisis, wants to spend time with us. Go, oh, I can't! Because we have no space. There is no space between. We have somebody who, our boss comes to us with a critical assignment. It's huge. And we go, oh, no, I can't! Because we overflow. We have no space. You know, we live to life to the edge physically, so a little flu bug comes in that should knock us out. Boom! We overflow. See, this might help us get more things in our life, but this is a recipe for disaster. Because it is in that kind of life that we don't get the significant things done. You see, in the space, that's where all the significant things happen. That's where relationships get built. That's where we help people who are in time of crisis. That's where we connect with God and have thoughts that we wouldn't normally have because we have time to have thoughts. That kind of full life does not work. We don't, you know, it's there that our dating relationships in the space get developed. It's where we grow. It's where things that are unique happen to us. It's where maybe something stressful comes into our life, but we can respond to it properly because we have the ability to process it and flex. Let's talk about the space between load and limits. Three things. Not four, your program is wrong. Three things. First is this. It is prescribed. The space between load and limits is prescribed by God. It is a prescription, not a drug that masks the problem, but this is a prescription that ultimately takes care of many of the things that we're facing. One of the things that was in God's top 10 list, and God had a top 10 list, He has a top 10 list, it's called the 10 Commandments. Not the 10 suggestions, not the 10 vague principles, not the 10 things I suggest that you do to have a nice life. 10 Commandments. One of the things in the top 10 is listed here. Here's what it says. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Here we have the reality that all of us have the same limit and that we all have a 7-day week. That is the limits, a 7-day week. And here we have God prescribing space of 1 day out of that 7. Prescribing space where we should not work, go about our normal activities. This is a prescription from God. And one of the things that God does is God never tells us to do something that He hasn't done Himself. In fact, that if you're a leader, that is Leadership Principle 101. Never do or ask anybody to do something you haven't already done or are doing. Never, never do that. And so when God gives this command, He modeled it Himself. He created the world in 7 days. He actually created it in 6 days. And we can debate now the cows come home whether or not that's 6 literal 24-hour days or whether or not that was 6 long epics representative of a day. But He creates the world in 6 days, creates the air and all that kind of stuff. And then He rests for a seventh day. Now, why would He rest? Because God doesn't need to rest. He is God. He has ultimate resources. He never gets tired. He rests because he is modeling for you and I how we need to live our life, to have in the rhythm of our life a built-in space. And this is not, you know, a suggestion. This is a command. Why would God command this? It's not like God has low self-esteem and he needs us to do what he says just so he feels better about himself. You know, some of us need to tell somebody to do something just so, ooh, yeah, I'm in control. Good, they did what I said. God's not like that. He doesn't have low self-esteem. Why does he give a command? It's because he cares for us so much that he says, I know how life is supposed to work. I know how your life will work, and I know it's not working now. The only reason it's not is because you don't have a space, so I'm going to prescribe and command you put a space into your life. Take a day when you don't work. Now, some of us, this is how whacked we are, this freaks us out. We're so stressed, and the thought of not being stressed stresses us out. What would that mean to my life? I mean, how would I get everything done? What about this and what about that? And the thought of how we might reorganize our world or how that might play out stresses us out. Do you realize how sick that is? The thought of creating space creates stress. Because we don't even have the space to think about how to reorganize our space. 1 John 5:3 in the New Testament says this. This is love for God. To obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. It says when you have a relationship with God, when you love God, what happens is you naturally obey what God wants. It's not like when you go, oh, man, okay, I guess I'll do it. You naturally wants it. And why do you want it? Because you learn that God is in the blessing mode and his commands are not burdensome because it is what is ultimately best for our life. So though there may be a unique learning curve to reordering our world the way God would have it to be reordered, this is not a burdensome thing. This space is something that God has designed so that we can have the kind of life that we need to have. As time goes on, medical science and archaeology, all those things are all working together to prove, really, the principles in the Bible. The more time that goes on, the more we find out from empirical research that this stuff that we can see in the external world fits into the spiritual world, fits into specifically what is in the Bible. I thought about this a couple days ago when I was reading the New York Times, and I saw this cover story about stress. And it was only a few decades ago that people scoffed that mental stress or your schedule could cause physiological things. Because they thought, no, it's a different world. It's a different world. Whereas God talks about everything being one, they said, no, that can't happen. You know, what's mentally going on or in terms of your stress, that can't really impact tangible matter. But they're finding that is not true. And all of these things work together. In fact, now they're finding that when you're under stress, it starts changing the brain chemistry. Things start firing differently. And it sets into motion a whole chain reaction of events in our body. That decreases the effectiveness of our immune system. Our memory cells don't work as well. Our heart is strained. We're more prone to heart disease. And all of this because we are living life at full capacity with no space. In the article, Dr. Bruce McEwen says this. Capacity, that's limits, can be influenced by diet, exercise, and sleep patterns, by the presence or absence of close personal friendships, by income level or social status, and by the piling on of normal stress to the point that they overload the system, that the loads exceed the healthy parameters in our limits. Then he goes on and he says this. He says, it is a matter of making choices in your life. These things are, number two, adjustable. Adjustable. Load and limits, the space between, it is adjustable. We did a Christmas party for everybody who serves, everybody who volunteers around here. We had, I think it was 700 people. There were 700 people, RSVP'd or showed up. I can't remember which. But it was a great party. It was out in the atrium. It was a lot of fun. It was cool. I felt bad. About 9 o'clock or so, when people started leaving, I'm thinking to myself, oh man, this party must be second wind. Oh man, 9 o'clock. Wow. You know, I'm starting to get all bummed out thinking we didn't do the right thing or whatever. And then I realized people filled me in on what was happening. It wasn't that the party was bad, because it was a really great party. It was bad. Well, what it was you all had like 2 and 3 Christmas parties that night to hit to. You know, how many of you did multiple Christmas parties sometime on the same night this Christmas season? Come on, more of you did than that. You lie like rugs. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Yes, there, okay. Now, what happened? What happened? You got up and you went from this party to the next party. You got to the end of your night and you were exhausted. Or you realized there was somebody at one of those parties you really wanted to engage with relationally and it didn't happen. Because it's in the space that we engage relationally. That kind of stuff happens. When you're doing 2 and 3 parties a night, you're just getting the top line stuff. Oh, so what are you doing? What's your name? Oh, what do you think about the Steelers? And oh, you kind of talk about all this. You don't talk about the nitty gritty because it's in the space that important stuff happens. And so we get to the end and say, I'm never doing that again. And then we forget. And a year later, we do the exact same thing. Because without the space, life doesn't work. The load is retractable. The load, this example, the load of the amount of Christmas parties you say yes to, that is retractable. Think about anything in your life that is a load, all of your responsibilities, all the things that are on your plate, they're all retractable. Your family schedule, if you have a family, it is retractable. If you took a look at our family schedule or the number of extracurricular activities that our family is involved in, you would find that our family is significantly less than average as far as the scheduling, as far as all the things our family could be involved in. That is by design because I know what happens to our family. We have too many things going, too many kids' activities, too many commitments to whatever. I get really short with kids. Hey, get down now. Now, sometimes that's appropriate to say. Really, it is. Sometimes. But I'll say that like twice a day. When I have no space, when I feel like we're just a taxi service going everywhere, or when the life is filled up, I don't have patience. I don't have flex. So one little thing goes wrong because I don't have the space to flex. I don't respond well emotionally. And then that creates stress in my kid's life. It creates stress in Liv's life. And it's because we had not chosen to retract our commitments, retract the load. A number of years ago, I found out that some of the things I needed to do around here as my occupation wasn't happening as well as it needed to. There's been a cost as our church has grown, a cost that I've had to bear, things that I used to love to do I can't do anymore. I used to love when we were about 250 people. Anybody who called me up, want to get together, I'd say, yeah, that's great, let's get together. Meet anybody at a service, want to do breakfast, lunch, great, schedule it, pull out the calendar right there, schedule it. Anybody, it was great. I enjoyed it. I'm an extrovert. I enjoy that. I enjoy meeting new people. But what started to happen was, because of that, I was having less and less time to prepare messages. Unique crises would come up that I couldn't respond to without really giving my family the shaft. Staff relationships, the relationship I really had to have right, went sour and we had really big conflict. And as I took a look at this, I said, I need to retract some things. And that was one of the things that needed to retract. And through a process of counsel and trying to figure out the right thing, realized for people who are not in my immediate community, my sphere of relational influence, I need to just keep aside 2 30-minute blocks a week for people who just come up and want to get with me. And some people said to me, that's nuts. You shouldn't do any at all, given the things you got to deal with. But I realized from my heart, I needed at least that. And so I retracted my load to that, to where now I can have the adequate preparation time. If something unique comes up, I can deal with it. If a crisis comes up, a real crisis with somebody who I don't know, I've got the space to adjust. And I realized that comes from a spiritual principle that God honors. And I feel very confident about that. To the point where, not too long ago, someone came up to me after service and said, hey, I got this idea. I really want to get some of your time. I said, great, I would love to get with you. Call my assistant, we'll set it up. She manages my schedule. I would love to. And they said, it'll take about 1 hour to 2 hours to talk with you about this. And I said, well, I got 30 minutes, and I would love to just hear what's going on. And in the midst of talking for that 30 minutes, maybe we'll see that we could extend it or something like that. But I really, I got 30 minutes. I can't wait to talk with you. And they said, no, I need an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours maybe. So I need. I thought, just call my assistant. We'll do best we can. And then what happened was, you've heard of the A-bomb, the atomic bomb. And then there's the F-bomb. I won't tell you what the F stands for. It's the F-bomb. Well, they pulled out the G-bomb, the God bomb. They said, well, God told me that I need to get with you for 2 hours. God told me. And I said, well, that's interesting because God told me 30 minutes. I was able to say it because I had walked through a whole process where I knew what my limits were. I knew what God wanted me to do, and I was honoring that. Gordon MacDonald says that unseized time comes under the influence of dominant people. Dominant people come in your life and they will try to take away your space. And maybe God's bringing a dominant person in to have you allocate some space to that person. But the ultimate thing we need to realize is this. God is to ultimately control our life, but you control your life. Nobody else controls your life. Your boss doesn't control your life. Your neighbors don't control your life. You are responsible for your life. You control your life. You can adjust your load. You can retract your load. You can add to your load, but you are responsible for that. It is your life. Not only is a load retractable, but the limits are expandable. The limits of your life are expandable. Some of you are going, oh, that's what I'm talking. Tell me how to get more done. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Limits are expandable. I remember when I was in college, I started feeling really bad because all these people were living life on less sleep than I was. And I'm a rather competitive person, so I even compete with how much sleep I get versus people, you know, and thinking, man, you're doing 5-6 hours a night? I'm starting to feel like a slacker because I'm doing 8. I realized, okay, I need to crank this down so I can get more done. So someone told me about this technique I followed. I start cranking my clock down 5 minutes a night. My, you know, alarm clock. So cranking it back 5 minutes. I think I got down to about 6 hours. And I thought that I gained 2 hours. I thought I expanded my limits by giving me 2 more hours to study. Yeah, right, like I'm going to study for 2 hours. But I thought that I'd expanded my limits. But I found out what happened was, no, I shrunk my limits. Because I got sick more. You know, before when I had space and I was sleeping well, a little flu bug that was knocking other people out, my system adjusted, flexed, I was fine. Found out I was in class. I'm thinking about how my eyes are hurting and thinking about how I just need to stay focused. I found out I couldn't remember things as well. My limits were actually hurt by not honoring my body. Medical science has made it very clear. We need 8 to 9 hours. There might be an occasional freak of nature, but that's what we need. For some of us, the most spiritual thing you can do is go home and take a nap. That's the most spiritual thing you can do. The limits are expandable. One of the ways is we do that. So I get 8 hours at least every night, and I don't feel bad about it. I can't remember the last time I took a sick day. Can't remember the last time I came down with something like that. I can be in marathon meetings and I'm focused. I can remember things because God, I think, is honoring your body, working out, not eating junk food every single night. Those things don't detract from your limits because you spend time on those things. They add to your limits because your body isn't able to do what God has given you the body to do. That's why it says in 1 Timothy, it says, for physical training is of some value. It's of value. I've learned in my marital relationship with my wife, if I can schedule time for us out of town, that increases our limits. Went to, took her to a surprise trip to New York City a couple weeks ago. Now, you would think that that kind of hurts productivity because you're out of town, but really what happens is it expands our limits. And now, I don't take her on trips so I can, you know, do more work. That would be cheating. That would be really not playing fair. I do it because I love her. I can't wait to spend time with her. But one of the outcomes is, as I honor my marriage, I'm able to put in more hours around here because she's more understanding of it and she has a greater attitude about how our life is made up. Limits are expandable. And I want to ramp into an area right now that I'm going to talk increasingly more about over the next couple of weeks. But it's critical for this area. It is the financial area. It's going to be a major focus. And one of the reasons it's going to be a major focus is because I know enough about us in here that this is a key area why we are so stressed. Study after study after study comes out and says the number one reason why people get divorced is financial stress. I mean, we are stressed with finance. In fact, as I start to talk about money, you start freaking out because, you know, I hate when churches talk about money. You hate when churches talk about money, not because some guy's probably abused you, maybe he or she has, but because you are so afraid to get any thoughts about finances because you are on the edge financially, and the thought of changing anything or adapting your financial world, this freaks you out because you are overloaded. You are past the edge. You know, if I sat like this and, you know, spoke like this the whole time, right on the edge, you'd feel uncomfortable. You feel uncomfortable right now, me being on the edge, don't you know? If I just stay like this, and you can't even look at me that long, can you? Yeah, I'm right here. I'm in your face. I'm looking at you. If I stay like this, and all you guys aren't even looking at me, I know that's, but you know, that's uncomfortable. Now, if I come up to the edge every once in a while, it's good. But if I stay on the edge like this, it is uncomfortable because we need that gap, your program. You know, some of you are really annoyed by our program. Go ahead and look at your program if you haven't already, the whole announcements. There's no space in there. We're not that dumb. We're dumb, not that dumb. We intentionally put that in there in the program because you were so uncomfortable with the fact that there was no space. And you thought, what in the world are these people's problem? Well, you know, people look at your life when there's no space and they go, what in the world is a problem with that person? Because you're more curt, you're shorter. Life doesn't, it doesn't work when there's no space. And financially speaking, we are on the edge. On the edge. And it doesn't work. 2001, the Mass Retail Association says the typical household spent $1,130 for holiday gifts. And that is higher than the budgeted or the anticipated average $863 they expected to spend. In other words, they overshot their budget by 23%. This is the way most of us live our lives. There is a limit to what we have financially. There's a limit of how much we make. There's the load, how much is going out, how much we're writing checks for, and then there's whatever's left over. In reality for us, there is no space between. Everything is gone, paycheck to paycheck. Not only that, we are in the red. We are exceeding our limits. We are bubbling over. It's coming out. We are exceeding our limits. How do you know you're exceeding your limits? You carry a credit card balance every single month. If you have a home equity loan. You have a home equity loan, not because it's a better interest rate, but the fact of the matter is home equity loans and credit card balances show that you are spending more than your income limits show. And you all know the stress this brings to our life. I still, when I go to take my car in to get it fixed, I still have this kind of, you know, tinge. Because I remember years and years ago, before I started operating financially the way God wanted me to operate and put in the right space, and I was freaked out anytime something went wrong in my car. Because I knew, unless it was something like a valve stem on the tire, I couldn't cover it with cash. I kept expecting somebody to say, and they can't say, hey, good news. That little twisty thing on the tire, that's all you need. Oh, great. Never happened to me. I was always freaked out because there was no space. There was nothing in savings to be able to accommodate for that. The whole talk of war, very ominous discussion. It should be an ominous discussion. Do you know why most of us are freaked out about the idea of war? It's because we've heard what might happen to the economy, the price of gas. And we say to ourselves, if I can't take one more curveball financially, I have no space financially. Anything that happens financially, I am going to go over the edge. I already am over the edge. Now, God, this word isn't in the Bible per se, but these principles are. We'll talk about them more next week as well. The 10-10-80 plan. There's an order. 10-10-80 plan. First 10%, take it and give it away. Give it to God. It returns to Him. I'm reading more and more financial gurus, business jocks, people who have no biblical underpinnings, people who are not Christians, like Robert Kiyosaki and the Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and all these different things. I've read another guy recently, too, has no desire to honor God, as far as financially speaking, but they just notice something happens when you give away 10%. There's a power to that. That's the first 10%. The second 10% is savings. Savings. Pay yourself. Put it aside. Savings. This might adjust for you, depending on your unique financial perspective, what your employer does. But 10%, create space. Pay yourself. Last 80%, you know, do what you need to do. Do what you want to do. But when you get in that kind of order, just like your time is ordered, when your money is ordered, there comes peace. There comes the ability to deal with the things we need to deal with. You know, many of us scoffed at the numbers that were up on the screen with Jack Welch. You know, I know this about Jack Welch. He still has money he hasn't yet spent. But we scoff at those numbers. And if you think that you can't retract your spending, retract your load, or expand your limits, if you think that it's not adjustable, I guarantee you, if somebody else in this room saw your monthly expenses broken out like we did Jack Welch's, people would look at what you're spending this year and say, you're spending that much there? What are you thinking? How could you do that? Not that it's inherently bad. It's just that people who have the eyes of objectivity could see that this is obviously retractable. The house we have, houses we all have, they're retractable. We could have smaller houses. We could have smaller mortgages. I'm not saying that we should. I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying it is retractable. Didn't become unconscionable until the end of the 20th century for families of five to have less than 1,500 square feet of living space. Now it's unconscionable. People did it for a long, long time. It's retractable. Car payment you have, it's retractable. You know, that brand of car, that nice little, you can retract it. Again, I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying you're feeling financially stressed. You could retract it. You could. Clothing-wise, if you don't think it's your financial life is retractable, let me give you a little exercise to do when you go home. Go home and pull out of your closet all the clothes you've worn the last 2 weeks. Okay, look at those clothes, and you probably will not be able to think of another set of clothes you really would like to wear. Those, you know, last two weeks, it's probably like your bread and butter clothing, you know. Take those clothes, pull them out, whatever you wore last 2 weeks, put them on your bed, and that stack will, you know, probably be about like this. Okay? Then turn your head and look in the closet, and it'll be like this. It'll be like this, and then more stuff. And you realize, wow, the money that went out for all these things, I don't use all things, these things. I don't need all these things. And you also find stuff like, you buy these party outfits, and from year to year, people don't go, yeah, you wore that last year, didn't you? No, don't do that. But we think that we have to do this. We think that we can't retract it. We think that we can't create space. Unfortunately for all of us, the government has proven to us that we can retract our load and the space adjustable. How have they proven it? Years and years ago, they said, we're going to do this thing called the income tax. All Americans said, whoa, what do you mean? Yeah, 5%, bam, we'll take it. And we adjusted. I said, oh, we can't take any more. And so, oh, well, I think we'll take 10. And I think 15 and 20 and 20. And they just gradually ramped it all the way up to where most of us are 30 to 50% right now, ramped it all the way up. And all of us have learned that you can adjust. It adjusts. See, the problem for this stuff is not in ability. The problem is in desire. That's where the problem is. Not ability, but in desire. I meet people all the time, and hear of people as well all the time, who have quote, lost their faith. And when I meet somebody who's lost their faith, I have yet to meet somebody, though I'm sure they exist, I've yet to meet somebody who said, you know, I was really a solid follower of Christ. I was really, man, things were going well. But then I read about Islam, and I read Muhammad, and after doing my homework, I just realized that Muhammad knew where it was at, not Jesus, and I see how Islam is there. And so I've lost my faith, and that's where it is. I've never met somebody like that. I've never met them. I've never met somebody who said, I had a trust in the Bible, and I just saw that it worked, but then I watched this PBS special with these enlightened, you know, theologians or whatever, and I realized, gosh, everything I believe was a scam. I've kind of lost my faith. I've never met somebody like that. I'm sure they exist. Maybe you're one of them. I've never met one. Here's who I meet. I meet people who are stressed out in their life and are to the edge. Something happens, some curveball happens, their life overflows, and they blame it on God. And they lose their faith. It wasn't God's fault, it was your fault. You ordered your life the exact way God said not to order. And then you went and blamed God. I said, whoa, I set up the code. I know how the code works. Go to some blueprints. Any blueprints you want, look in the blueprints, and you'll see an architect's name. Look in the blueprints of your life. You will see, on the blueprints of your life, your own name. You know, when a house blows over, and a building blows over, it's not the code that is wrong. It's normally an architect that didn't follow the code. God said, this is the code. You need space. You need emotional space, you need relational space, you need time space, you need financial space. And when you, of your own free choice, choose to ignore that and fill it up, you have nobody but yourself to blame. The other unique thing about this is that not only is this space prescribed by God and is it adjustable, but it's also paradoxical. And yes, that is a word, paradoxical. Check it out yourself. It is. I have a master's degree, and I have spell check on Word. There's a word, paradoxical. You know, what does it mean to have a paradox? It means that there are two suppositions, two truths that are seemingly in contradiction with one another, but in the very presence of those two extremes, there creates a tension, and in the midst of that tension, there is a power. And so what we're talking about here is a paradox. It is the idea of you must have space. And what I am saying, when you order yourself to have space, you actually increase output in many ways. You increase your peace. It is very, very strange the way this works. 1 Corinthians 14:23 says this, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace." How do you get peace? Well, part of it's by space, but really the way it is that you order your life the way it should be ordered, because God is not a God of disorder. And when you order your life the way it should be, even though it seems like you'll get less done or you'll do less, what happens is more happens than you bargained for. The stuff that really matters brings, you know, comes to bear.
You're saying, you know, gosh, you mean if I take more time off and on vacations, you mean I'll be more productive at work? Yes, it'll be fresher. You're saying, you mean if I actually give 10% away and save 10, I'll be better off financially? Yes, I'll talk about that next week. One of the reasons might just be just the fact that you're going to have to go through some hard mental exercises there, and you're going to learn a lot of things about yourself and your spending that's actually going to be some aha experience to you. It's a strange thing, just that thing in and of itself. But we think, man, I can't do it. God says, sure you can. Sure you can. Sometimes God will do some wild stuff. You say, I can't find any time. I don't have time to build significant relationships. God says, oh, time. You want time? Oh, I'll give you some time. Bam, you have a disease. Now you have all kinds of time. I'm not saying that God is going to cause a disease to happen in you. And here's what I'm saying, though. God will use a disease, and many of us, we've had diseases, we realize, man, time can be reordered, can't it? Say, oh, I can't. I can't think about reordering my finances. There's no way I could live unless. I can't. God, oh, you don't think so? Oh, bam, you have no job. Now you have to adjust. You just took a pay cut. Now you know, and I'll prove you can figure it out. Again, I'm not saying God's going to make that stuff happen, but he will utilize those things. Help you understand that this stuff is prescribed, it is adjustable, it is paradoxical, it is just the way it works. God said, here's a paradox for you. In the Old Testament, not only is it one day out of six, he said, everybody who was farmers said, here's what you do. You work your land for 6 years, and then you leave that plot of land, don't have it do anything, give it a break in the seventh year. And of course, now we know from examining soil and everything like that, it makes the ground more productive. They didn't have that stuff back then. God said, that's the way it is. You give the land a break every seventh year and then come back. And the paradox was the land lasted longer. It created and produced better crops. And there is the power of the paradox, the power of the order that God wants. On December 26th, I had some space. December 26th, it was 7 a.m. 7 a.m., December 26th, I'm sitting on my couch. And here's what I look like. Now that's space right there. That's, that's ultimate space. That's sitting on the couch doing nothing. Just like that. And I was praying and I was reading my Bible a bit, but for the most part I was just like this. Ultimate space. Nothing was filled. Just in space, actually. And you know what happened? You would think, what was happening of significance for you? You weren't building in your family in the holidays, or you weren't doing this, or you weren't doing this. You know what's weird is that space expanded limits. Because here's what happened. 7 o'clock in the morning of December 26th, I was sitting like this. All of a sudden, popped into my mind was the fact that Crossroads needs to be reoriented to the vision of why this place exists. But idea came to me, first next level in January, let's have a night to talk about the vision and get everybody on the same page. And so those of you here this last Wednesday night, you know, it was a pretty cool thing. We all said, oh, that's what we're here for. And the energy that happened here Wednesday night was phenomenal. And what happened was, because we all got on the same page, the limits of what we can do in this place was expanded. The limits got expanded. And it traced back to, in this situation, me having space. And that exact same thing can happen to you. Please don't go to your boss and say, guess what? I'm going to work less. Don't do that. First of all, maybe you shouldn't work less. Maybe you are a slacker. You need to work more. I'm dead serious about that. I meet more and more people like that. Secondly, he or she might not be able to understand that process, So let the results do the speaking. But there is a power, there is a paradox that's at work when we start ordering our life the way God would have it ordered. And next week, I'm going to ramp up the intensity a bit in the financial area, because I know that's the area that is driving a lot of us utterly insane and bonkers. Let's pray. God, I ask that you take my words from today and the ones that I've said that were meant for us as individuals, you would help us to keep those on our mind, and then we wouldn't be able to forget them. They would just be on our mind. And they'd be on our mind because we want the life that you want for us, because we realize that it's the life that is best. It's the life that works. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The starting point of this stuff is recognizing that God is enough. What he has given us is enough, and God is enough. He is enough. We need to be thankful for that. So, as a growth exercise, why don't we all stand and sing this together and to God.